This is the boss.
I'm the boss.
And the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
Welcome in, everybody. It is Monday night, and I am sitting next to the Monday Night Delight, Carla Dawson. How are you?
Good to be back.
It is good to be back, and we've got Jose behind the glass.
How you guys doing?
Jose, good to see you. You're sporting some threads that I'm really liking over there.
I appreciate that. It's good
looking
to be seen.
Good.
Every now and then, Jose knows how to doll it up, doesn't he?
He can sport that kid.
The
slick
sneakers, the jacket. The new hairdo?
Kicks.
I try.
Kicks or sneakers.
Yeah, it's kicks.
Oh, kicks, of course. Thank you. Good to be current on all things, isn't it? And, Jose, you need to help Carl out. She's still recovering from what she saw in that fight this weekend.
Oh, man.
It was the lick. It was the tasting of the blood that really turned her head.
Did it really?
Twilight. I just wasn't up for it.
Come on
man.
Now. He promised he would taste while there's blood. He tasted it, and he tasted it, and he tasted it.
I can't unring that bell. That's a rough one.
That's a rough one.
It's a rough one, including him singing to Patsy Cline. But, oh, well, there we go.
Well, in this supposed dead zone of sports, there's a lot going on. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Daniel Ewing. He's the former Duke basketball player, played for the Clippers, played overseas, and we're going to talk to him about the NBA, his life at Duke, and all things college and NBA basketball. How about that?
It's the season. March Madness around the corner. NBA getting ready for playoffs. It's exciting.
Good to have a resident expert. And frankly, that was a great NBA game, a great regular season game yesterday, the Lakers and the
Celtics.
Two elite teams. Lakers, of course, everybody views as an elite team. Celtics really played well on the road, and they nearly came away with a win, even without Kemba Walker on the court.
I think they're exposing a weakness in the Lakers, too. Let's see who can pick that one up.
Well, we'll have to ask Daniel Ewing about that. Are the Lakers vulnerable? They certainly are the favorite in the West. And then today was a big day in Los Angeles celebrating the life of Kobe Bryant.
And Gigi. It was amazing. Wow. I watched every minute of that. That was something else.
All right, when we come back, we'll get Daniel Ewing's perspectives on Kobe Bryant and all things NBA and NCAA college basketball when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and we are delighted to have in studio with us Daniel Ewing, former player for Duke, a couple years with the Clippers, played overseas. Daniel, welcome into the show.
Thank you, David. Glad to be here.
So I wanted to ask both of you, I think you both had a chance to watch the tribute to Kobe Bryant today. What stood out to you the most?
Daniel, we have to start with you. You're our guest. You get to go first.
What stood out to me the most was just the more memorable moments that everyone shared about Kobe. Me and Carla was talking off camera, off the air about the Jordan, his emotions and him opening up. You know, just we've never seen that side of Jordan. And that was pretty special for the basketball world, just knowing the fierce competitor that Jordan was. And as he's always had this kind of stone cold, never really expressed too much emotions. You never really known too much about Jordan's personal life. So to hear him speak of Kobe in that light and to actually open up and you know, his emotions overcome him, and just share how his relationship that he had with Kobe. It was good to see. And everyone that got up, all the speakers who got up there and spoke on behalf of Kobe and Gigi did an amazing job. I enjoyed it for the most part. I didn't catch all of it, but the parts that I did see, I enjoyed it.
A very moving tribute.
It was so moving. And I think, too, you know, obviously what Daniel said, I think seeing Michael Jordan start at the podium with tears flowing, not just watered eyes. I mean, they were flowing before he even spoke a word. said so much because we're used to seeing him as so steely nerved and so just he can just put on whatever he needs, and he was uncontrollable.
And can I pause on that?
Yeah.
Because when I think of Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, obviously two great standout basketball players, but I didn't think of them as having some close and intimate relationship. I would never have thought of Michael Jordan as the guy to speak at the tribute, but he was clearly moved out of a personal relationship.
It evolved, and he talked about the relationship evolving. I mean, he kind of called him a nuisance when he first came into the league because it was Kobe's, the beginning of Kobe's and career, and you know, the sunset of Michael Jordan's. He was with the Wizards at that point when Kobe came in the league. But I thought that was really neat, and I thought he explained a lot in the evolution, and that Kobe really taught, while Michael Jordan taught him a lot about basketball, Kobe taught him about the importance of being a dad and being a dad to girls, which we were talking about with Daniel too. And I think today the message I took away, two messages that I thought were really cool, was that Gianna was honored as beautifully and with as much emphasis as her father today, not only as an amazing young lady, but as an athlete who is determined. And Diana Taurasi spoke, and Gino Auriemma, the head coach of UConn, in just such special terms about this young lady who was obviously taken far too soon. And I think not only about her prowess and the same drive that she has that her dad has, and obviously she got from Kobe, but the Gino Auriemma, his closing remarks were to everybody, to all the men in the, everybody in the room. And there were so many dads from every era of the NBA, from Bill Russell to Steph Curry to Shaq to, I mean, it was everywhere. Devin Booker and, I mean, just every, Greg Popovich, you name it, everyone was in there, said how the importance that Kobe showed everyone and how to be a really great dad. And I think hashtag girl dad was something that was going around too because of Kobe. So he really has left a mark in so many ways. It was really special. Really special.
Well, we move from Kobe Bryant to the modern day basketball world.
Move, but yeah, there we
Let's
go.
Let's shift gears. We've got Daniel Ewing in set, former Duke player. Love to ask you about Duke's season. It has not been up to some of the normal standards of Duke from the past. How do you look at this team?
Talented team. Still very young. We're looking at Trey Jones as being the veteran guy, but he's only a sophomore.
Yep. Yeah,
but that's just the nature of college basketball nowadays, where you have the one and dones, and you know, you're left with a sophomore to be the leader of a team trying to win a national championship. But this team is young, but they're talented. They're not as talented as last year, you know, with Zion and RJ Barrett and Cam Reddish. But this team is talented enough, and I think they have more depth. That's the key for these guys this year. They have more depth, which is going to play in their favor if everyone can step up and play their roles and their chances of winning the national championship.
This weekend, some great college matchups. Kansas and Baylor, probably the biggest and best of the weekend.
That was a great game.
Really good.
What did you see in that one?
I saw in that one Kansas having trouble finishing right before the half,
yeah,
and right at the end, because they really controlled the game for the most part. I mean, they built an 11-point lead at one point, and Azubuike was out of his mind.
Dominant.
Of his mind. 8 dunks against Baylor. And Baylor's long and tall and active, and he just had his way with them. But I think it was a great win for Kansas, because it was in Waco. But I think they've got stuff to work on when you think about, wow, they really had trouble finishing both at the half and at the end of the game. What did you see, Daniel?
I agree. But I think all credit to Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
They went in there and took care of business, revenging the earlier loss that Baylor had against Kansas in Lawrence earlier.
Right.
In the year.
They traded places.
They traded places. So it's basically both teams are pretty even. But like you said, Azubuike was phenomenal this past game. And I don't think he gets enough credit.
He doesn't.
He's one of the better college players in college basketball who you're not going to hear his name a lot for whatever reason that may be. Maybe because he's not projected to be a lottery pick or so. But he played phenomenal. Kansas, that was a big win for those guys and going forward and possibly solidifying their their one seed spot going into March Madness.
Well, I think part of it with Ozubuki, too, is that he's a seven-footer from Nigeria. He's a senior. Like, you are 4 years at Duke. I mean, we don't see seniors anymore. And he's had a lot of injury issues. You know, he hasn't played a whole bunch. Like, I think he had one game as a freshman due to injuries, 9 games as a junior. But to see what he did, he had game-high numbers across the board, 10 more points and 14 more rebounds than any of his teammates. He was so dominant. Three blocks, 8 dunks, 19 rebounds, 23 points on 11 of 13 shooting. I couldn't have been happier for him. And to hear his presser afterwards or the on-court interview just said, I have worked so hard for this. I mean, you know the grind of 4 years of college basketball.
And that's all you can ask for a player, you know, with his situation. Like you said, he's missed a lot of basketball due to injuries. Last year was probably the most he's missed in Kansas. It really showed in, you know, Kansas' performance throughout the season. But this year he's been healthy for the most part, and he's played. His play has shown that, you know, if he's healthy, he can be a big factor and one of the better big men in college basketball.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, a lot of streaks fell yesterday. You had a big tally you were quoting me earlier on.
Yeah, this is crazy. So this weekend, 68 games in combined winning streaks were ended this weekend. A combined 68 games. So Baylor falling to Kansas ended a 23-game streak for Baylor. Gonzaga falling to BYU ended a 19-game win streak. And the shocker of them all was the Aztecs of San Diego falling to a 500 Running Rebels of UNLV ended their 26-game undefeated season up until last night. 68 games of a winning streak ended this weekend. What happened this weekend?
What happened to the dominant blue bloods of yesteryear?
Like I said, it's just the nature of college basketball now. You have the one and done, so teams are not as talented as they used to be. So you had your crop like last year. Using Duke as an example, last year Duke had a very talented team, right? Being that they had 3 of the top 10 picks on their team.
Yeah, amazing group.
Number 1 pick, you had RJ Barrett was the number 3 pick, I think. Cam Reddish went top 10 also.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's rare, you know, but it's the nature of the game. So now the better teams in college basketball are teams who have maybe your grad transfers or your fifth-year players or, you know, those teams like a Dayton, for example.
Yeah,
you know,
they're
older
deep.
Guys, juniors and seniors who've been there, but they've been around. San Diego State, you know, some transfers, guys that are older that have been there. Those are your more well-rounded teams. The teams like the Dukes and the Carolinas, the Kentuckys, these teams are going to always have a lot of turnover because they are considered the blue buds. And so the very talented guys that's going to come there, kids going to come there, are going to come there, and most likely they're going to be one and done, even if they're not necessarily one and done. You know, they're going to, because that's what's been projected of them when they get there. You come in, McDonald's All-American, this, that, and the third. So you go there for that year, and you're expecting, okay, I'm expecting to play well and go to the NBA the next year. So that turnover really puts a damper on the college basketball landscape. But college basketball is still in a good place. It's still a lot of good teams and a lot of good talent. But that's, I mean, just the parity in college basketball now is that, I mean, anybody can be beaten literally on any given night.
Like, it's going to be a mad March Madness, is it not?
I think so. You too were a McDonald's All-American in 2001, Daniel. We got to brag about that. It's impressive.
I did pretty good for myself.
What was it like? So you played for Coach K for 4 years. And I think it's interesting as you talk about the evolution of college basketball and how hard it is with these blue blood programs who have these one and dones that are gone. How do you think it is that Coach K has been able to dominate for 40 years in coaching with every year you've got to reset your chemistry? You've got to. What did you see from your time at Duke with him? What's his secret sauce?
Well, I think the biggest thing is kind of what you said, resetting every year. Every year is new. You know, really, even if you haven't guys coming back from the previous year, every year guys have gotten better, so things change in that aspect. But at the same time, now that you're saying it's a lot of turnover, right? Every year you have to refocus on the new group that's coming in. You know, you got to revamp maybe how you run how you run some plays or how you do this or how you do that. So for us, I think the biggest thing has been the fact that Coach K has been there the entire time.
Yeah, he's been the constant.
I think that's the reason why we've had the success we've had, because we've had one of the greatest coaches of all time, if not the greatest, at the helm of this program for 40 years. If you look at other programs, and it's not a knock on, but if you look at other programs, the UCLAs, the Kentuckys, the Carolinas, the Kansas, they've had different coaches throughout the decades, right? Roy Williams is no longer at Kansas. He's at Carolina now. Dean Smith, you know, he retired, and they've had multiple coaches up until they got Roy Williams. Kentucky has had Patino. Now they have Calipari, you know. So that's been, I think that's been the biggest thing for Duke basketball. We've had Coach K at the helm for 40 seasons straight.
All right, that's Daniel Ewing. He played for Coach K. He's a former Duke player. When we come back, we'll ask him about another former Duke player, Zion Williamson, who is tearing it up as a rookie in the NBA. That
Zion
next.
Who?
Yeah, that guy. He's pretty good. Right. We'll talk about him when we return here on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and we are joined in studio by Daniel Ewing, former Duke basketball player, former LA Clippers NBA player. I want to ask you, do you have a car problem? Because if you do, and you don't know where to go, you need to go to O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You scared me there for a minute.
No.
It's serious.
Maybe you're not close to home when your car breaks down. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts, they have a shop referral program. Take the guesswork out of finding a great shop. Wherever you are, call an O'Reilly Auto Parts location near you or visit O'ReillyAutoParts.com and click Find a Repair Shop to find a reputable repair facility or service center for your repairs. That's O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, we're joined in studio by Daniel Ewing, and I want to ask about Zion Williamson because he has come now onto the court in full health and is off to a great rookie season. We've waited a long time for this guy to hit the NBA. What have you seen in Zion Williamson?
A star in the making, basically.
I might have thought he couldn't live up to the hype, but he has really come on strong right at the outset.
I think so. I think he's surpassed kind of the hype that anyone probably had for him, especially considering he had to sit out with the injury for so long.
When you guys look at him, his body type, his style of play, his ability to do the low post, and he's making the three, whom does he remind you of? Who's the closest proxy to Zion Williamson?
I've never seen anything like Zion. Never.
I'd say LeBron's the closest as far as size-wise, but he doesn't shoot the three like Zion can do. But I don't know.
Well, there's
is that an unfair thing to put that on Zion, that he's similar to LeBron?
Well, LeBron's really worked and developed a pretty good three-point shot,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but he didn't come out like this.
As a rookie, no. But I guess when I look at him, there's a little moment when I see a little bit of Charles Barkley. I mean, he's a stocky guy.
He's a big guy.
He's a big man.
Yet he moves so well.
He's nimble, athletic, quick, light on his feet. I say he's a mixture. I mean, you could say Charles Barkley because of how big he is. But for me, just as far as his athleticism and his build, he's a mixture between Sean Kemp and Larry Johnson.
Hmm.
Oh, that's nice.
You like
Daniel,
that one.
You've been around the game a bit. I love that. Sean Kemp especially. That really resonates.
And more so the college Larry Johnson. Even though the NBA Larry Johnson was a good, you know, had a good NBA, but the college Larry Johnson was a man child. So the Sean Kemp that we saw, the Rain Man, and that Larry Johnson at UNLV is kind of what I see Zion right now.
Okay, right now,
I love that.
Pelicans making a run for the final playoff spot. They're not that far out anymore with the great run that Zion has added to them. Do you see them making the playoffs? And if so, would you give Zion Rookie of the Year, or does Ja Morant have too much of a run record?
That's tough. It's hard to take away from what Ja Morant has done.
Oh,
yeah.
Considering that Zion has missed so many games. But I think there is a possibility. For me, I think Ja Morant wins it. But I think there is a possibility that Zion could win it if the Pelicans find a way to make it to the playoffs and Zion continues to play the way he's been playing. He's continuing to average 20-plus points.
Oh, my gosh. I know.
He's going to be a big factor if they make the playoffs. He's going to be a big reason why. Now, granted, they have an all-star on their team in Brandon Ingram, but the way Zion's been playing has been very impressive.
Wow, that's a good question. I like it.
Well, it's notable because when you watch ESPN in the mornings, Get Up or something, and they're talking NBA, they often lead with Zion Williamson did this last night. I mean, he is the star around which
Zion Williamson ate his cereal with his left hand, spoon in his left hand.
Right, they're all going to talk about him.
Well, it's a bit like the Patrick Mahomes factor of the Super Bowl. We were at Super Bowl week, Daniel, and seriously, he had won MVP the Monday before the game. I was like, I don't even know why anyone else is showing up. He's definitely getting it. So I think there is a little bit of that with Zion, but he is living up to it. So got to appreciate that. Daniel, I wanted to ask you, so the evolution of small ball that you've seen over the years, and obviously Golden State has exploited that to five straight, trips to the championship and three championships themselves. What do you think of that evolution of small ball and the Rockets, who have now just decided to adopt that right before the All-Star break? Can that get the Rockets to break through to the finals?
Small ball is good in different matchups and for different scenarios. We've seen it before, and it's not really new, but it's become more popular with a lot of the NBA now. We've seen
shooting the three has gotten to be more.
We've seen it with the Mavericks back in the late 90s, early 2000s. It became more known with Golden State with the We Believe team with Baron Davis and Steven Jackson and those guys. D'Antoni maybe adopted it some in Phoenix with Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire. And so now I think the Rockets have taken it to a whole nother level. Is really just small ball, like the way they're playing. They don't have a guy over 6'5" on the which, like I said, in a regular season, they'll win games. They're going to win games, and it's going to, some doubters is going to make them believe that this possibly could work. But in the playoffs, I don't see the Rockets winning big for what they say their expectations are, which is an NBA championship. I don't see them even making it to the Western Conference Finals with the way they're playing with the small ball, because they say you have to go against, say, the Lakers or, let's say, Denver.
Denver or Utah. Teams with real bigs,
and the game slows down in the playoff, and teams really hone in on what you do. And I don't think the Rockets would be able to overcome, in a seven-game series. I don't think they'll be able to overcome teams with real height and length. Like they're doing right now, in the regular season.
I thought the timing was strange for the Rockets. I mean, I can see that, and Daryl Morey's been very public about, we are trying to compete against Golden State. Well, all you have to do this year to compete against Golden State is just show up on the court. I mean, they have the worst record in the NBA for obvious reasons. And it is interesting to note, too, that after five consecutive trips to the finals, they have an entire extra season on their legs. Basically, their whole starting lineup is done with overuse type injuries, with the exception of Steph Curry. But I thought, okay, you're building a small ball team to compete against Golden State, but they're not going to the playoffs. But who you are seeing are the giant timbers of LeBron and AD and Kawhi and Paul George. So such an interesting decision to try and do this year in the Western Conference.
I think the Rockets just decided that, okay, maybe we can't win big with the way that the traditional way that we have been trying with Capella, having the one big, the rim protector, the screener, the rebounder, the lob guy. So let's try something else, right? Let's try something new and see if we can make this work. Like I said, it's gonna look good, and it's working right now in the regular season. It's
right.
Working, but I don't believe it's gonna work. I don't believe it's gonna be effective. Like it is now in the playoffs, like in a seven-game series against some of the better teams in the West. And the West is tough. Like I said, everybody's tough from that. Everybody. You have guys like Dallas, like you said, Denver, Utah. Like that. I don't think none of those teams the Rockets don't really want to see any of those teams in the first round.
No, and probably the Pelicans, too, if they keep moving in this direction.
All right, when we come back, we're going to break down the Celtics-Lakers game yesterday, a great NBA matchup. Lakers with a win, LeBron's big shot. We'll look at it, talk to Daniel Ewing about it when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and we are joined in studio by Daniel Ewing, former Duke basketball player, former L.A. Clipper. And we're talking all things NBA at the moment. And I want to talk about the big game yesterday. Celtics-Lakers, one of the best regular season matchups we've seen this year. And I'll talk first about the Celtics. I thought Jason Tatum showed for that game that he might have been the best player on the court, actually. He really showed well. 41 points, leading the Celtics to a lead with just about a minute to play. And then things unraveled for the Celtics. But Jason Tatum stood tall. Celtics looked good. They didn't have Kemba Walker on the floor. He's one of their best players. And so I think the Celtics made a statement yesterday, even though they did it in a loss.
It was a big game for the Celtics. I don't think it was a statement game, considering they wasn't fully healthy. But they showed that even without Kemba Walker, we're still the team to be reckoned with. And like you said, Jason Tatum showed up and showed out yesterday and had a big performance on the big stage against a really good team. And that's going to boost his confidence going forward. I think it's going to help the Celtics going forward, knowing that, okay, we can rely on, even though this kid is young, we can rely on him. We know he's up for the task. Hell of a performance. I think it was the best game thus far in the NBA season. Both teams really played well. Prime matchup on a Sunday afternoon.
No, it's so true. And I think what Jason Tatum helped to expose, if you're playing the Lakers, is that they have trouble with long wings that can shoot the three. I mean, that's a problem for them. Tatum was a problem. I mean, he handled LeBron well, and he outplayed him. You said it. He was the best player on the floor yesterday. So I think that there's been like four games where the Lakers have, four teams where they have faced those, you know, long wings, and they've had trouble with them.
And in different moments, Jaylen Brown did a good job guarding LeBron. I mean, they do have four mini stars there in Tatum and Brown and Hayward and Kemba Walker when healthy. Marcus Smart is also a great player for them. Mm-hmm. So, no, the Celtics are built to play and compete this year. I mean, in the East, I guess you've got to consider Milwaukee and Boston the favorites. Interestingly, I came into the season thinking the 76ers were going to be a better team than they've proven to be. What's gone wrong with the 76ers?
I think they just don't have the right personnel. Granted, last year, Elton Brand did a pretty good job of making it, trying to make that work, taking over that situation. But I think this year they might have missed out on not re-signing Jimmy Butler.
I think that's a huge miss.
I think they thought that Tobias Harris was the better for the organization. I think that was a better fit, but for what they're really trying to do, I think Jimmy Butler was definitely the better player.
Well, and there are questions about whether Al Horford has fit in well on that team.
Well, Al Horford's a good player.
Yeah.
It's not Al Horford. It's just the system and the personnel.
The process.
It's the personnel. You have two bigs clogging up that space. Ben Simmons is not a shooter. They don't have enough shooting. Ben Simmons needs that space to drive and penetrate. You have Embiid down there, needs to post up. Yeah, you know he's out of room. And Al Horford's the same way. He's not really a stretch four. Al Horford's a 4 or 5 that can shoot the three, but that's not his specialty. So I just don't think they have the right personnel to be a championship caliber team just yet.
Do you think Brett Brown survives the season? Survives after the season?
I think so. I think Brett Brown's done he's done a good job. Like I said, I think they just have to, the front office has to bring in the right guys, have to make the changes to bring in the right guys to fit around your two stars. The coach can only play who's on the team.
Right. Right. So true.
So your pick for the East right now?
It's open. To be honest, I think Boston could very well represent the East in the finals. I think Toronto could get back to the finals as well.
And that blows my mind because I thought with Kawhi leaving, they were not going to contend at all.
It's been a big surprise for me also. But they Siakam has stepped up and probably
become. Yeah, Kyle Lowry looks great. And it's impressive what they have done in the absence of Kawhi Leonard.
It is. But I think those two teams in Milwaukee are going to be one of the teams that represent the East. Philadelphia doesn't have a chance, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's shift gears to the Western Conference. Lakers, of course, seem to be the cream of the crop. Interestingly, we came into the season admiring the great duos in the NBA, right? There's LeBron and Anthony Davis. You got Kawhi and Paul George. And in Houston, Russell Westbrook and James Harden. who now at this point in the season is the best duo in the NBA?
I have to go with the Lakers.
Yeah, you got to go with the Lakers.
I have to go. The way LeBron's playing, AD's playing at a very high level. But Russ has stepped it up for the Rockets to make that case, but Harden's play hasn't matched the way Russell has taken off. Harden kind of has been on the – he's coming back up now, but he's kind of was on the decline when Russell was really performing at a high level. But I would say AD and LeBron is the best duo right now.
And do you think Kawhi this week for the first time has expressed some frustration with the Clippers? They've had a rough little stretch here. What do you think's going on there? Really like Doc Rivers. Is it Paul George's just inability to be on the court and have chemistry? What do you think's going on with the Clippers? They've got a great lineup.
I think maybe it's the expectations. Because this thing of this last year, there wasn't expectations for Toronto to be a championship team. So Kawhi could just go out there, be himself, play, and what happened.
We weren't scared of Fred VanVleet last year.
He wasn't.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, he had proven to be a good player, but you wasn't expecting Toronto to be the team in the finals, let alone win it. So I think this year the expectations, along with injuries, guys being in and out, they haven't been able to quite get the rhythm and chemistry that they would like because of the injuries. I think all that stuff is playing its part. But it's a long season. Paul George will be back when he's back and healthy and full, and his team is healthy, they're one of the more dangerous teams in the NBA.
Yeah, fully healthy. The Clippers can challenge the Lakers.
Oh, Lou Williams, Patrick Beverley.
Personally, wow. I think fully healthy, the Clippers have a slight edge over the Lakers.
I would agree.
Me personally. Fully healthy, if both teams fully healthy, I think the Clippers have the slight edge. A healthy Paul George, healthy Kawhi, they have a better supporting cast than the Lakers do.
Have you guys been surprised by Dwight Howard's return to prominence, right? He's playing well
for
the Lakers.
What a story!
The redemption of Dwight Howard.
How about that?
I'm not a big Dwight Howard fan, but I'm happy to see that he's having the season he's had. And he's made it, like I said, he's having a redemptive season and playing well, and he's healthy. And he's having fun again. That's a big part. People don't really when you're having fun, when you're not having fun as a professional athlete, like it's miserable. But he's having fun and he's accepted his role. That's a big thing. He's accepted his role this time.
Well, I think there's the difference. Yeah, he's accepted his role and he's a star off the bench. I mean, he's got to be so happy with how things are going for him. He got another chance, and he has done amazing things with it. It's really surprising.
And so yesterday, LeBron James with the game-winning shot over the Celtics. At 35, he does not seem to have slowed down hardly at all, right? I mean, he's playing at the same level. Is he not? What do you see him slowing down with?
I need to find out what type of wine he's drinking. the wine he's drinking is definitely going along with the way he's playing. At 35, he's still... he's still the best player in the league, in my opinion, at 35 years old.
Yeah.
And he probably plays the most minutes of any player in the NBA still at this point.
And he's leading the league in assists this year.
Which is great to see.
Which is. And I think, he probably could have done it in the past, but it's just more impressive that he's doing it now at 35 in his 16th season. So LeBron's a special. We've never seen anyone like him before. We probably won't see too many like him ever again, so... we have to appreciate what he's doing now.
All right, let's go from the top of the league to the bottom of the league, the Golden State Warriors.
I knew you were going to play
one of your team favorites. Yeah. But there are whispers that Steph Curry may come back very soon.
March 1st, which is Sunday, against the Wizards.
And at this point, really the best tact for the Warriors is not to win. Are you glad to see him come back on the court?
If he is fully healthy, because there's no reason for him to come back. The only reason to come back is just because he wants to. He's a competitor. He's sat out. You know, his hand injury has been complicated because there's been nerve damage with it. You know, when you have a 280-pound guy sitting on you, you're going to get some nerve damage. So that's what should have been a 2-month injury turned into a 4-month. But it's his left hand, not his shooting hand. I think it's good for him to get back and just, again, there's no incentive for the Warriors to get him back before his time. So if he's cleared to come back, it's because he is legit cleared to come back. There's nothing to play for except to see how he and Wiggins do together on the floor, to give the fans in their first season at Chase Center a glimpse of Steph Curry. And I think they're smart shutting down Klay Thompson. Don't even think about bringing him back this season. There is no reason. So I'm excited to see Steph back. I don't think it's going to make a huge difference in what they're doing. And I think don't worry about that. The season's over for them. It is over. So just
yeah, but healthy, their placement, the number of ping pong balls they get in the lottery.
I mean, yeah, you know what that is though? That's a 14% chance. I have never bet on anything that's 14%, so I'm not all that fired up about that. I mean, good for them, but
DeMarcus Cousins cut, released by the Lakers. I feel bad for him, right? His whole career has been snake bit, lots of injuries. A guy who had a lot of talent. What does his future look like now?
I mean, he has a place in his NBA. He has a place in the league. It's just a matter of finding the right fit. And it's going to take him another season to prove that he's healthy for a full season before you really know, you know, what his future really holds. Unfortunately, he's had some unfortunate injuries the last couple of
major
seasons.
Major injuries. Yeah.
Like I said, coming off the season he was coming off of in New Orleans, where he was playing some of his best basketball, he turned down the money. And then the injury started happening. And so it's just, yeah, unfortunate to see a talent like that not be able to get on the court. I think the Lakers was a good fit had he been healthy. They've been a great fit for him. But what the future holds, I don't know. Like, we have to see him on the court before we can really make a prediction about what his future holds. But he's still very young, still has a lot of basketball left, I think, in him. And he's still very talented. One of the best. When he's healthy, he's one of the best bigs in the game.
And do you think his size is part of the reason he's so injury prone? He's fit. He seems really fit, but he is so big.
I mean, I don't think so. The Achilles injury happened to Kobe, rest in peace. It happened to Kevin Durant, you know, DeMarcus. I mean, it's happened to different players, guards, bigs, wings. So
that's maybe just more of an overuse injury.
I think it's just a freak accident, yeah. You know, a freak injury that just happens for whatever reason. We can't really pinpoint. So I don't think his size has anything to do with it.
Tough stretch. That's DeMarcus Cousins released. Now the Lakers can pick up Morris. So he will find his home next year. Denny Ewing, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your coming in studio and sharing your insights on all things NCAA and pro basketball.
Thanks for having me, David and Carla. I enjoyed it. I had a great time.
Yeah, we need to get you back for the playoffs. Some predictions.
All right, let's do it.
All righty.
Look forward to it. Thanks.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, that was a privilege to have Daniel Ewing in. Daniel Ewing, of course, a four-year player for Duke, 2 years with the Clippers.
And a lot of years in Europe in the professional league.
And he played overseas and had a nice career as a professional basketball player.
Won 3 championships.
Interesting. I think he was subtle about it, but I think he's pretty high on those Lakers who have been impressive to date. The big two, LeBron and Anthony Davis. And they've got some pieces around them. I mean, Dwight Howard, as we talked about, he has come back and been a good contributor for that team.
Kyle Kuzma. I love Quinn Cook, who's a former Duke.
And how about Rajon Rondo?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, you know, interesting, if you're looking at the game last night, you loved watching that Celtics-Lakers game. To me, I think Boston is one of the deeper teams in the NBA. They are so deep. Like, the Lakers have a really stout starting five, but they're not super deep. And I feel the same way a little bit about Milwaukee.
Well, the Celtics bench hasn't been particularly prolific. They haven't scored that well. But you're right. They've got at least those five names.
Oh,
you can rattle off
goodness.
Their top five. It's more than a big two, right? When you go to Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, and Marcus Smart, that's a five that's really strong. Now, they start with Daniel Theis in at center. But they are a force to be reckoned with. I mean, it will be really intriguing to see who comes out of the East. Right now, you have to say the Celtics or the Bucks.
Right. And don't forget Toronto. I think that was a good point you brought up.
I keep forgetting Toronto because I just can't see it. I just can't see how a team can lose Kawhi Leonard and come back and get to the finals.
I know, but you look at Siakam is stepping up and Van Fleet and Kyle Lowry. I mean, they've got they still have a great roster in place, you know, and wow. And I still, you know, the Warrior fan in me says, yes, you all won it, or did the Warriors lose it for you by having KD and Clay go down literally on the Raptors court.
Which may mean that the Raptors weren't the undisputed champs of last year, and they lost Kawhi, and so I question even more how could they be relevant,
right,
and how could they contend
they
for the
are.
Eastern
they're,
Conference.
They're right in there.
They're right in there.
At number three. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Eastern Conference feels like they've got more depth than maybe the last 3 to 5 years.
I think so, too.
Although not at the level with the Western Conference. Still, Eastern Conference trails.
You know, for Toronto, you credit Nick Nurse. I mean, what he has been able to do, what he was able to do last year with managing Kawhi Leonard's minutes. This year, there's no Kawhi Leonard. There's no Daniel Green. And he's still able to be right there in contention with a much better Eastern Conference than last year, I think. So, yeah, it's impressive. I like it. I like it a little shaken up there.
Interesting, though, when we asked Andrew Ewing about the best duo in the NBA, he did go with the Lakers, LeBron and Davis, of course. That's an easy one. But he gave some consideration to Harden and Westbrook.
Yeah, he did.
We may be too close to it here in Houston. I don't know. I just don't feel all excited about that duo and where the Rockets are headed.
Well, because we've seen disappointment from both Harden and Westbrook individually when he was with the Westbrook was with the Thunder, and Harden has just kind of disappeared in the playoffs. So together, it remains to be seen. And it does seem like Westbrook's game is evolving and he's deferring a bit to Harden. Could be the ticket.
That's the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. We'll be right back.